Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Joining us on the line, Dr. Tom Russo from the Jacobs School of Medicine, chief of infectious disease there. And Dr. Russo, some positive news over the past week when it comes to vaccines. And I guess we'll start with the one that's definitely going to be making headlines over the next couple of days, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. You know, the FDA released some data ahead of what we all kind of assume will be emergency use authorization. The trials in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine eliminating really entirely both death and hospitalizations in the those research trials. There's about 20,000 people received that Johnson & Johnson vaccine in the trial. Not a single one was hospitalized with COVID a month later. That is some really positive stuff.
Yeah, it's fantastic news. And importantly, the Johnson & Johnson trials, besides occurring in the U.S., occurred in South Africa, and it occurred in Central America, where some of these variants of concern have been circulating. So, worst-case scenario, even if our vaccines aren't quite perfect in preventing symptomatic disease against some of these more worrisome variants, if they keep us out of hospital and bad outcomes, that's fantastic news, and I think we could live with that at this point.
And Dr. Russo, I've also read that the J&J vaccine is the only one so far that prevents asymptomatic infection. That itself is huge, isn't it?
That is huge, but Susan, we have even better news. There is increasing data that that's also true for the AstraZeneca vaccine. And it's also true for the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine. I think the outstanding question is exactly the magnitude of protecting against asymptomatic infection, which in turn will decrease transmission. And right now, and the numbers are still a little bit murky, they're looking pretty good. We think about somewhere between 75 and 90% of asymptomatic infections will be prevented. Further, those that are asymptomatically infected, at least with the Pfizer vaccine, seem to have carrying a lot less virus, which also would be predicted to decrease transmission. So the same way these vaccines are 100% against preventing symptomatic disease, they're probably going to be not quite as good as preventing asymptomatic disease, but they're going to make a huge impact.
Knowing this data, what we see in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that is set to be approved soon, and then what we've seen both in the recent study that you just mentioned, but also just kind of in general when it comes to the other vaccines that are out there, that asymptomatic infection is, you know, if not completely eliminated, it is very rare to have that in these vaccines. Do we need to kind of move the discussion, stop underselling that point a little bit? Because we brought this up with several other doctors in the course of the past week. I keep getting messages because the message is out there that, well, once you're vaccinated, you know, still you can still spread the virus. And that's the messaging that's been out there for the last month. Data is pointing to that not being the case. Yet when I get a message from somebody who says they're not going to get the vaccine, they're not rushing to get the vaccine, it's not because they don't believe it works. It's because, well, according to what I've heard, you can still spread it. What's the point? You know, if I still have to do all the things I've been doing over the last year. Should we start selling that point that asymptomatic infection is not happening when you're vaccinated?
Yeah, I think the key words, though, and Brian, is it's not that it's not happening, because the number's still not zero, okay? But it's significantly less. And I think because we haven't really nailed down what that number is going to be, is it going to be sort of 10%, 15%, or more? That's why there, you know, some caution in terms of the messaging. But having said that, you're absolutely right. This vaccine in certain circles has been, or vaccines, I should say now, has been undersold, not only in terms of decreasing symptomatic and serious disease, but now as we're getting more data about how effective it looks in decreasing transmission. I think the other reason for caution is we're still a little bit at the crossroads where some people have gotten vaccinated, but there's still many, many people in this country that are immunologically naive. And so people are erring on the conservative side just to protect them while they're waiting their turn to get vaccinated.
I keep hearing from people that they want the J&J vaccine because it's one shot. Will we ever be at the point where we get to choose the shot that we get, or should we just take whatever is offered when we become eligible?
So right now, when supply is the limiting factor, I think you should grab what you can get because all of these vaccines are really looking quite extraordinary. But our supply is really going to logarithmically increase throughout the month of March and April. By the end of June, with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, assuming that's approved, and the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, we should have will be delivered between now and then 700 million doses, enough to vaccinate everyone in this country. So we're going to come to a tipping point sometime in sort of maybe, late April, May, or June, where there's going to be plenty of vaccine out there. And at that point, people, may have a choice in terms of which vaccine to get. But right now, that's not the case. They all look great. Grab what you could get.
We've asked you this question plenty of times before, but it seems like every week we talk with you, there's a little bit more information on it. Skipping the second dose, right? And the news now toward an increased supply seems to be that, we're not even going to have this conversation because there is going to be enough vaccine where skipping the second dose, why would you do it? There's plenty of vaccine to go around. That will happen sooner rather than later. But we are getting some positive news out of just receiving one dose of whether it's the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, that really does protect you a lot. The news yesterday was out of a real-world test of the Pfizer vaccine. It found that after one dose of the Pfizer vaccine, it was 62% effective preventing severe disease, 72% effective preventing death after 2 or 3 weeks. Do you consider, even though, people should still get both their shots, but would you consider somebody mostly protected a couple of weeks after just one dose?
Well, after one dose, we know after a couple of weeks, you definitely have a significant degree of protection. But that second dose is absolutely critical and should not be missed for really two reasons, Brian. First, you get a huge boost in the amount of antibodies with that second dose, on average as much as tenfold. And that increased buffer of antibodies may prove to be very important in protecting against the variants, which are still sort of simmering in the background here, and we're keeping a close eye on those. The other issue is durability, how long it's going to last. And again, that booster dose is really going to maximize the longevity of vaccination. So, for both of those reasons, it's absolutely critical to get both doses. I think, the conversation earlier was not whether you need or not need that second dose, but whether it could be pushed off a little bit when supply was so limited to, use that dose for the more vulnerable individuals to get that, reasonable or partial layer of protection that you just alluded to. But as you pointed out, as supply is increasing now, I think that conversation is going to fade into the past, and I think we're going to stick with the two-dose regimen.
We're speaking with Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine. We know that in Erie County, it's around 17%, 15% in Niagara County, less so in some of the rural communities across western New York, but that's the number of people who have gotten at least one dose of the vaccine. You look at a positive number like that, there's more on the way. We're going to keep adding to that every single day and every week. There's a good number of people who have natural immunity. Are we nearing that point where we should start talking about when things are going to get back to normal, opening things up even more with these numbers that we're seeing and the positive trends, if for nothing else, to give people a little bit of hope?
Well, Brian, this is the way I look at this. So You're a football guy, right?
Yes.
You never want to blow the lead in the fourth quarter, right? So everything is heading in a great direction now. Our metrics look fantastic. But we're really not quite there yet in that critical number of individuals with some combination, as you alluded to, both natural immunity and vaccine-induced immunity. And eventually we want everyone to get vaccine-induced immunity because that's unquestionably going to be the best immunity, particularly if those variants raise their ugly heads. So we're getting there. We're getting close, but we're not ready to celebrate in the end zone yet. I think, though, the timing, and I'm hoping, you know, I'm the optimist, of when we'll be able to do a lot more is going to coincide with the better weather when we get into that May, June sort of time frame. But right now, I think this is not the moment to relax on public health measures while you're waiting your turn. This is the time to really double down and make sure that you don't get infected while you're waiting for your appointment to get the vaccine. You know, we've talked about, the intermediate long-term consequences of getting infected independent of the immediate consequences. So, everyone just needs to take a breath. We're getting close, but we're not quite there yet. Let's maintain that rigor and close the deal on this virus.
I've got a question about women, for all the women that are listening, Dr. Russo. I heard that you should time your shot around your mammogram, because within 6 weeks of the vaccine, it could cause false positives in the imaging. How concerning is this?
Susan, I must admit I have not heard that at all, and I haven't seen any data. That doesn't mean that's not true. But obviously, mammography is an extraordinarily important screening modality that we have. I just haven't heard anything about that. So, I just don't want to comment one way or the other.
No, that's certainly understandable. There's so much to take in on all of this.
We're talking so much about these vaccines when they become readily available. What is your take now? In the past week, we've seen multiple mass vaccination clinics kind of being announced. When you look at the infrastructure for vaccination, do you think we're prepared for that, kind of explosion in availability?
Yeah, I think we're really getting there. Clinics are opening up all the time. The vaccine is going to be moving into doctor's office. We have these mass vaccination sites. We discussed, Brian, we were a little slow out of the gate, right? But we're really gaining some momentum now. We understand how to do this efficiently. And I think we're really going to be prepared to get those shots in arms commensurate with the increased availability and supply that's going to occur over the next several weeks and months. So I'm really excited that we're going to be able to get this done and get the critical number of shots in those individuals. And we're sort of talking about probably 75% to 80% to achieve that sort of magical number of herd immunity where we could really get back to normal here.
All right. That's great news. Dr. Russo, we always appreciate your help with us every week. Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine.